we're using this time to reflect on the reality of God's kingdom and what it means for us to be a part of God's kingdom. And as we've said, just to say this again really quickly, the reality is that we experience God's kingdom in two ways. On the one hand, God's kingdom is here. Christ came, he died, he rose again for the forgiveness of sins, and now through his word, through his sacrament, through God's people, God's kingdom is here. And at the same time, God's kingdom is not yet fully here. God's kingdom is not yet fully here. We don't yet experience all of the blessings that Christ has promised to us. We don't yet fully live in our own lives as Jesus calls us to live. And Jesus has promised us that he will return to earth one day. Jesus will return to earth on the last day, and on that day, we will experience God's kingdom in all of its fullness. We'll experience all of the blessings that he's promised. So we wait for that day because, as we've said a few times, God's kingdom is now and God's kingdom is not yet. We're still waiting for Jesus. God's kingdom has come and God's kingdom is still coming. And as we talk about our lives in this kingdom, we're keeping Isaiah's vision of God's kingdom front and center. You noticed, maybe, that the reading we had from Isaiah was the same reading we had last week from Isaiah. We're going to read it again next week. We're keeping Isaiah's vision of God's kingdom front and center. There's lots of places in Scripture where prophets and apostles talk about God's kingdom and what that's going to look like, and we're just using this one. But this vision of God's kingdom helps us to understand what Jesus is doing in our world. This helps us to see what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Jesus died and rose to forgive us, to give us forgiveness of sins, that's true. But also, through Christ's work on the cross, we have good news for the poor, as Isaiah says. We have healing for the hurt. We have freedom for the captives. We have God's favor. We have comfort. We have healing for those who are hurt. We have joy. We can go on and on. And because Jesus is doing all of this gospel stuff in our lives and in our world, that means that part of our mission as Christians now is to participate in his work. We participate in this work of Christ, in all the different things that he is doing in this world. And so today we're focusing on the idea that the kingdom of God looks like healing. The kingdom of God looks like healing. And we recognize, first off, that Christians have always made an effort to heal people who are hurting. Jesus himself gave us this example. Jesus healed many people during his time here on earth. Jesus healed people with physical ailments. Jesus drove demons out of those who were afflicted by demons. Jesus raised the dead. The early church, too, worked to heal people. We find in the book of Acts, for example, that the apostles even sometimes healed people miraculously, just as Jesus had done. Then throughout the years after that, Christians would continue to serve as doctors, as nurses, in all sort of medical professions. Christians would found hospitals. They would create clinics to serve those who needed healing. Here in Fort Wayne, actually, we have two big examples of that. There's Lutheran Hospital over that way, I guess, which is pretty obviously started as a Lutheran mission hospital. And there's also Parkview, which for a big chunk of its history has been affiliated with the Methodist Church. Followers of Jesus have always emphasized healing as part of our mission in the world. And indeed, Jesus commanded his followers to heal. In Matthew chapter 10, we see this. Jesus sends out 12 disciples to spread his word, and he gives them this command. He says, "Proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near." And Jesus says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." And notice there's a connection here between the kingdom of heaven has come and the healing that comes along with it. So also in Luke chapter 10, Jesus commands 72 disciples to go out and spread his word. And he says this to them. Jesus says, "When you enter a town and you're welcome to eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." And again, there's the kingdom with healing. So it's pretty clear, I think, that the kingdom of God looks like healing. It looks like physical healing. The kingdom of God looks like spiritual healing. It's healing in Christ. It's his gift. But if we consider ourselves for just a moment, how often do we see people who are hurting, and instead of acting to heal them, we instead turn away? how often we see the sick and we think something like, you know, just like the lepers back in Jesus' day, we think something like unclean. I don't want to be sick too. And we leave them be. Maybe they make us uncomfortable. Maybe they make us nervous, perhaps, about getting sick ourselves. Or maybe we prefer not to see the reality of their suffering. Maybe that's why we turn away. You know, we see people suffering from mental illness, and that's often even harder for us to deal with. And we think something like, well, they don't really need my help. They just need to sort themselves out, because that hurt is not always obvious. We see people who struggle with spiritual depression often, and we deny them any compassion. You know, we say, just go ahead, stand yourself up, get on your own two feet, forget your struggles, move on with life. And the problem with all of this is that none of these are healing responses. If Jesus has called us to help participate in his mission of healing in this world, often we don't do that when we have the chance. You see, when we meet people who have who need healing more than anything, too often we turn away from them and their needs, and we turn to ourselves. We turn to what makes us comfortable, and we deny those people the healing that Christ has already given us. And when we do that, we're not sharing the good news. We're not serving our neighbors. We're not acting as the hands and feet of Christ. And for that, we should be sorry. But the good news for you and for me is that the good news is that Jesus comes as our Son of Righteousness. That's what we read in Malachi chapter 4. That's from our reading. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. And so the prophet here is saying figuratively, Jesus, when he comes, it'll be like the sun rising in the morning. When our Son of Righteousness rises in the sky, everybody's going to see his light. Everybody's going to feel that heat. And the prophet Malachi chose this word intentionally. You know, at first, you always hear people, at least I do, talking about Jesus as the Son of Righteousness. And I think they got the wrong word there. It's S-O-N, right? I mean, maybe that's just me. But this is what Malachi says. Our Savior will be a son. That's S-U-N, like the big ball in the sky. Son of Righteousness. Because in the ancient world, many people literally worshipped the sun. They saw it as a god. They saw this bright, blazing orb in the sky. The sun provided them light. The sun provided them heat. The sun gave them what they needed for life. And these people concluded that the sun must be a god. And so they actually worshipped it. The problem with that, though, of course, is that the sun is no god. I was an engineer. I can tell you what the sun actually is. It's a giant ball of gas with a nuclear reaction at the center. But that's beside the point. This sun, well, these people in ancient times would look to the sun for light and warmth, and the sun gave them that, yes, but the sun would also sometimes scorch the crops and burn their skin if they spent too much time in it. These people in the ancient world would look for help for the righteous so that they could do good things, but the sun also benefited the wicked and gave them light and life to do evil. And so what the prophet Malachi is really telling us is he's pointing to Jesus as the Son of Righteousness, and he's saying that our coming Savior, the coming Messiah, would be a better God than this thing that all the other people are worshiping. Malachi is telling us that Jesus would be the one who truly deserves our worship and praise. Jesus is better than the God that all these other people are worshiping, the Son itself. Because when Jesus comes, he says, he comes like a Son of Righteousness. And what Malachi tells us is that the heat and the light Jesus provides will strengthen the righteous even as he judges the wicked. Malachi tells us, starting in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire." Wow. This is what the Lord Almighty says. And he says, "Not a root or a branch will be left to them, but," Malachi says, for you who revere my name," this is speaking for the Lord, "for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves." So when Jesus comes as the Sun of Righteousness, it means healing for you and for me. Jesus comes with healing for all those who follow him. And Jesus did that. Jesus accomplished that healing on the cross. Jesus was raised up on the cross, just like the sun rises in the morning. And all who look upon him, all who trust in him, all who receive his gifts, and that includes you and me, for all of us, we receive forgiveness and we receive healing, more importantly, from the corruption of the sin that's within that's within us. We receive healing through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. So when we look at ourselves and we recognize that we need help, when we see our old sinful selves, when we see our self-centered selves, when we see our angry selves, when we see our foolish selves, we know that Jesus comes to us to heal all of this. He clears out all of the junk that's in us. He gives us a new will. He gives us new hearts and minds. He gives us the Holy Spirit. Jesus heals us mentally, physically, and spiritually. Because we're new creations in Christ, all of this is healed for you and for me. And we have to say here, as we've been saying all along, that the kingdom of God is not totally here. Not yet. We haven't been fully healed yet. We still struggle with physical problems. We still struggle with mental problems, mental illness, spiritual problems. A full healing for us will happen on that last day. And take a moment to think about what that really means. What that last day will be like. If you need physical healing on that last day, your body will no longer hurt and ache. If you need physical healing on that last day, your organs will do all their jobs as they're meant to do. Malachi gives us this image at the very end of our reading. You'll go out and frolic like well-fed calves, you know, animals full of life. This is what you'll be like. And if you need mental or spiritual healing, know that on that last day, your mind will no longer be at war with your will. Your mind will no longer suffer from depression, a lack of motivation. On that last day, you'll see the world as God meant you to see it. On that last day, you'll feel as God meant for you to feel. You'll be able to focus. You'll be able to learn. You won't need medication just to feel human. Some of us have been there. You'll be content on that day. You'll be able to love. You'll be able to care. That sort of stuff is what we're looking forward to. That's the healing that Christ has promised to give. So, while we're waiting for this, while we're waiting for Jesus to return, let's think specifically about this Advent and this upcoming season of Christmas. While we're waiting for Jesus to come back, where can you do some healing? Where in your life can you pass on Jesus' gift of mental, spiritual, or physical healing? You know, this time of year, you may find an opportunity within your family. Hurting relationships are often on our minds during this time of year. So do you have a relationship that needs to be healed? It might be time for you to apologize to someone. It might be time to drop an old hurt that someone has, an old wrong that someone has caused you. It might be time to just start talking with someone with whom you haven't been speaking. It might be time for you to include someone in your family that others would rather leave out of the gathering. And if these hurts are severe enough, it might be time to seek help, someone like a counselor to help you through this time. Identify a relationship in your life that needs some healing. Make a plan, and then do it. Start the process of healing there. Or another idea, you might be able to do some healing in your community. Now is the time of year, of course, we always hear this, we see this on the news. Now is the time of year when food banks, homeless shelters, other aid organizations are always pressed for help and resources. And you can pass on Jesus' gift of healing by maybe giving some of your time or giving some of your money to one of these organizations. And I think to just simply volunteer yourself. Go make friends with someone you wouldn't normally talk to. If you simply take some time to care about the hurting people around you, then that process of healing can begin. And there's lots of other ways to help people, help heal people. You can volunteer at hospitals and hospices, nursing homes, all sorts of places. But this season, however you do it, make an effort to heal someone, physically, mentally, spiritually. And maybe that person is yourself. And don't simply do this for a few weeks, like this is the only time of year that people need help. Make a habit of healing the people around you. Do it throughout the year. And remember, we do all of this because we are living in God's kingdom, because God has chose us to be here. We're in this kingdom that is here now, and we're in this kingdom that is here not yet. We have all received mental, physical, and spiritual healing from Christ. Jesus gave us that gift, and now, as his people, we turn that gift outward to others. We use our newfound health and strength in Christ to do the same, to heal others. And always, always as we do this, we're looking forward to the fullness of God's kingdom. We're looking forward to that day when Jesus returns to us. We're looking forward to the healing that he brings for us and for all people. Amen.